Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to go before the people of God as we fellowship in the Word of God and explore the Word of God together. This is our Bible study. It's not Diane Adams' Bible study. It's a Bible study that all of us could participate in and be a part of, that God can get the glory, that God can use you in service. Well, the title of our lesson for tonight is To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. And it's coming from Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 and 48. But before I do that, I was looking at what was happening, you know, with the same football players, the same football team. Not this week, but last week. You know, it was a rough game, and it was almost to the end of time, and the Saints were losing, and it appeared that the other team would win. So all of the Saints people were very upset. Matter of fact, they wasn't happy, and it was sad. But when within 30 seconds left in the game, the Saints came out, showed off, and they won the game. Then all of the Saints fans were very happy. And I'm saying this to give you an example about happy and joy. You see, happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. And that was the case with that game. But joy is what God gives us. And no matter what the circumstances or the situation is, we could still hold on to our joy because God is with us. So I use that just to give an example of happy and joy. And that was a good illustration I thought I could use. And as I said, our lesson is coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, the 42nd through the 48th verse. The title of the lesson, To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song, and the title of this song is The Master Plan. I chose this song because I thought it was so appropriate, because I love it every time I say God's master plan. You know, God has a master plan, and all of us are included. And as the day goes, as the days go on, we see how the master plan of God unfolds. God's master plan is in place, and it's real, and it's going to be fulfilled. And nothing you can do can stop it. Nothing you could do can block it. Nothing you could do can make it go away. Because if God said it, it shall be done. If he ordained it, it's going to come to pass. So, you know, with whom much is given, much is required. I look at that as a part of God's master plan. And I chose this particular song because of that. So listen to the song. Be prayerful for our Bible study. Pray for one another, because time is running out, and Jesus is coming back for a church, for his church. And y'all know that we are the church, and where we go to fellowship is the church building. But we are the church, the body of Christ. So listen to the song. We're going to come back, and if God put it on anyone's heart to bring us to the throne of grace, please press the one button on your phone, and you could bring us to the throne of grace, and then we'll explore the words of God together. Thank you.
You're gone.
It's amazing how God has a master plan, and he's worked all things out together for our good in his plan. Our job is to be committed, obey. Be committed and obey the will of God, because the master plan have all good things for you, and yet we can't get it right. But at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace, and I'm asking if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button on your phone, and you could go to the throne of grace. God is extending this opportunity. And we have a call of 504-430. Your mic is open.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear God, once again, we come to you on this Wednesday night. We come with thanksgiving, dear God. We thank you once again for allowing us to come together. We thank you, dear God, that we still live in a country where we can hear your word, where it can be taught to us, where we can learn. Dear God, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, the sins we might have committed knowingly and unknowingly. We thank you, dear God, that you look beyond our fault and you supplied our needs. We thank you, dear God. But most of all, we thank you for who you are, dear God. We thank you for being our creator, our savior. We thank you for the gift of salvation, dear God. And, dear God, we thank you for your servant, Diane Adams, that you've given to us, that she's used, Lord, she's used by you to bring your word to us every Wednesday night. And we thank you, dear God, for that. We ask that you continue to bless her. We ask, dear God, that you bless all of us that's gathered around tonight to just hear your word. Help us to love more, dear God. Help us to want to learn more about you, dear God. Help us to be more compassionate and loving as you taught us to be, dear God. And, dear God, we know that you do have the master plan, and we thank you, dear God. These and all blessings in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I thank you so much, Sister Joyce Brown. Thank you so much. And I know prayer, you know, was given by the Holy Spirit, because it just summed up the lesson, the things that we are talking and that I'll be, you know, expounding on. You said it in your prayer. So it was confirmation, and it's a great thing. And I thank you for being obedient to God and pressing a button and bringing the prayer, going to the throne of grace for the sisters and brothers in the household of faith. You be blessed,
Lord.
And I thank you.
Yes.
Our lesson tonight, like I said, to whom much is given, much is required. Coming out of Luke chapter, because so many other callers has called in. Luke chapter 12, 42nd through the 48th verse. As always, we do a background. And tonight I wanted you to know that the men who were called to be a part of God in a circle, a part of Jesus in a circle, were very diverse, a very diverse group of men. You see, they came from all walks of life, social backgrounds, and many different occupations. And you got to, you know, I don't know if you ever ask yourself the question, why did God use some of these people? You know, I always tell people, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And this is the prime example. Matthews was sitting at the tax collector's booth doing unfair business. Peter was on his boat fishing. You see, God went looking for them, and that's how God came looking for you. And God knew, just like he chose them, he chose you. And all of us have something to do. You see, the Bible is so impactful because God includes the differences of people, places, and things to be able to attract everyone, right where they are. Such a wonderful part of his master plan. The Bible is not short of anything. There are many who believe that the Bible contradicts itself, or the Bible, or some of the things in the Bible that are said cannot be true. But even the writing of the Word of God to give to us was a part of his master plan. And believe me, it's complete, it's effective, it's the truth, and you can believe it. You see, these 12 men, other than the traitor Judah, formed the foundation of what is known today as the church. For those who don't know, we are living in a church age, which is really the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of time of grace, because after the law it was grace, but it's the church age. And we will continue in the church age until we die or Jesus come back with the rapture. One of the men who was not listed as an apostle, but had a tremendous effect upon the documentating and the spreading of the gospel, was a physician named Luke. You see, Luke's intellect showed through his writing and his deep knowledge of things pertaining to the physical makeup of man is in his gospel. Now let's look at this for a while. Who could God use to articulate the humanity of Jesus Christ better than a physician? See, God got it going on. You see, God used everything and every writer that he used. You know, the Bible was written by man, but it was inspired by God, and God used 40 men from all walks of life. But he used every writer necessary to formulate the Word of God for our salvation, our daily living, and our moral compass. Luke is the only writer in the New Testament who is not an Israelite, or, as you would say, a Jew. I'm just showing you tonight how complete God was with his master plan in formulating the Bible, because, you know, the Jews was always receiving because they were the chosen people. And then in the New Testament, God opened the doors for the Gentiles. And Luke, who wasn't an apostle, God used him to write the book of Acts as well as the Gospel of Luke. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. You see, Luke's writing focused on the preaching of the good news, which indicates his joy for the plan of salvation. You see, Luke had social status in his community because he was a physician. You know, even today, doctors have certain social status. See, Luke was like that in his day. And at that time, he was practicing Judaism. But when confronted with the truth, he not only recognized, come on, y'all, but he realized that nothing was more important than pursuing the gospel. And he was willing to do it regardless the consequences. You see, Judaizers back then and even now who practice that religion, Judaism, they love God. They say they love God unto death. Plenty of the terrorists, the people who bombing up people in Jerusalem and everything, the terrorists, y'all know what I'm talking about. But they believe that they're doing things to help God because they love him so much. So I brought this point up to say that even them, they love God. But the problem is they never accepted his son. You see, but Luke recognized and then believed Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when he heard it, he received it, and he believed it, and his life was forever changed. And that's awesome. That's the power of the Word of God. And if we go into the scriptures tonight, we're going to start with the 42nd verse. You see, and the scripture reads as follows. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? He's saying, who, you know, you looking at it as, and you got to remember this is a parable, you know, you got to look at it like he's saying, you know, if a boss leave town, let's use it like that, and a boss come back from out of town and you did everything you should have did and you did everything what was right, even though the boss wasn't present, that would please your boss. So he's saying that faithful and wise servant who the Lord shall make ruler over his household, that's how you could get a position, a higher position at your job, because the boss know he could trust you even when he's not there. He said to give him their portion of meat in due season. And 43 said, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find so doing. And 44 says, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Because now he can trust you. You know, we know that Jesus is gone. And he told us to do well till he come back. And we don't know when he's coming back. And the point is, what will he find you doing? You see, really, in this context, Jesus had just told some parables. You know, I asked everybody to read the whole 12 chapters, and you could see some parables that went before this parable, because there was a parable about a rich man that was a fool. And then Luke start talking about the anxieties and how you be concerned and seeking things of the world and get all, you know, messed up. And he even told you at the end of that parable that Jesus said, because all the writing is in red, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things will be added to you. See, Jesus is talking and he's using parables. And a foolish man gonna store up everything, and then he's gonna die. And he's gonna stored it up for someone else. And then the parable Jesus do right before this one was teaching to be ready and how to be ready for his return. He let you know no man know the hour or the day when he come back. So what would he find you doing? So Jesus taught this parable here about a faithful and wise steward. You see what happened? Peter asked Jesus, was this parable just for the inner circle I talked about up there, the apostles or the disciples? But Jesus said, Jesus answered him with another parable. When they heard the other parables, Jesus come back and talk about this parable we studied tonight. And he defined it as the faithful and wise manager, as one who take care of all things necessary. And this is so important. Taking care of all things that are necessary at the proper time. He was letting us know that timing is important. You see, when the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing his resources well, he put him in charge of all his possession. I come to tell you tonight, if you want more of God, you should do more. We have been entrusted with certain things, and faithfulness requires that we manage those things wisely and unselfishly. You see, because when it all boils down, and you got to realize this in your Christian walk, that we are only stewards. A steward is one that manages something that belonged to someone else and returns it when they come back. You see, everything belonged to our Lord. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells in it. Until you recognize and understand that God owns everything, and because he do, anything you have is just because of his grace and mercy being extended to you. And what we have been given to us to be faithful stewards until our Lord return. You see, he has given us time, talents, and resources because he wants to know what we'll be doing or what we did while he was gone with what he gave us to do, what he wanted us to do with. Because Jesus is coming back, and we will have to give an account. And not just that, Jesus said when he come back, his reward is going to be in his hand. Oh, yes, they are rewards. You know, some people will say, I don't even care how I get in heaven. I could just get in by the skin of my teeth. But they are rewards, crowns. Hallelujah. You see, while we sometimes experience immediate material rewards here on earth for our obedience to God, this is not always the case. If so, we would be tempted to boast about our achievements and do good only to get. Jesus said that if you look for rewards now, and certain rewards, you could be disappointed because all rewards are not for now. There's many for later. That's just like healing. All healing won't be done on this side. But there will be some healing. And just because a person is praying to be healed and they're not healed here, it's not because God loved them less. But God guaranteed when Jesus come back, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and their flesh will have been disappeared in the grave. And those who will be living and taken up with the rapture, you're going to take off the corruptible, which is the flesh, and put on an incorruptible. Hallelujah. And you will be healed. There's no sickness in the New Jerusalem. Come on, y'all. There's no more debt. But we have our sights on what we could see. And we have to let the word of God penetrate us enough that we could be all right on this side, whatever God allows, and press forward to eternity looking for Jesus, which is our reasonable service. You see, our heavenly rewards will be the most accurate reflection of what we have done on earth. See, so when people sit down and say, oh, I'm so good because I don't do what she do, and some of the things I used to do, I don't do no more. But God is looking at the heart, the attitude in which you do it and the intent you do it for. That's why only the true things you do for Christ will last, because they're going to follow you in eternity, and you're going to be rewarded. The rewards that we're going to receive, our heavenly rewards, will be greater than we could even comprehend or imagine. That's a beautiful thing. And that's what God is concerned about. God say this life is nothing but a vapor. We're here today, we're gone today. That's what it says in the book of James. But God is concerned about you through eternity, which will have no end. In eternity, you're going to live and live and live and live. And live and live and live. No sickness, no pain, just joy, just praise. You're going to live forever. That's why it's called eternal life. And that's the most thing that God is concerned for us. That's why it's his desire that all sorts of men be saved so they could bask, you know, they could, you know, enjoy and eternal life. You know, our master is coming back, and no one knows when, with the reward in his hand. And as I said earlier, only those things done for Christ will last. Everything else is going to be burnt up, as in the book of Revelation say, with fervent heat. Everything we know is going to pass away. And behold, everything is going to become new. That's why it's called the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You know, all of your land, all of your houses, all of your money. You know, all of the money that's in the bank at that time when God's master plan decides to destroy the earth and everything in it. It's just going to burn up. Your cars, if you die, and they're going to be burnt up. They have no place in eternity. Just what you do for the Lord. So if we have to pack luggage to go, and only what we do for Christ gonna last, how much luggage will you be able to bring with you? the Holy Ghost just gave me that. So I shared it. And if we look at verse 45, and it say, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayed his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut him in sunder, which means cut him in two, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Hallelujah. You know, so many people living in on earth, you know, they think, I don't know, people from the beginning, even in the Old Testament, was looking for Jesus to return and looking for the end to come, but we don't know. But people put things off. And it's not just all of the things of God, but some things we need to take care of because we just should. You know, like getting your business in order. You know, if you need to make a will, make your will. If you need to do things that you could do that you're not doing, because God say timing is of the essence. He asks that we do all things in the proper time. Pay your bills on time. Stay in your lane. If you're a grandmother, be a grandmother. If you're a father, be a father. If you're a mother, be the best mother you could be. And grant you, having children did not come with manuals. And we have made mistakes, but as we grow, we realize the mistakes. We can't change the past, but we could do better as we go into the future. You see, a servant that is putting off tomorrow for what he should be doing today, he is living his life as if there is no tomorrow. Lean into his own understanding. You see, that's what happened with the unsaved believers. They believe that they have time. You know, many of them ain't ready to give up their drinking, so they'd rather keep doing their drinking, and they don't want to give up whatever they're doing because, first of all, they don't want to give it up, and second of all, they figure they have time, and they're going to, like, if they're going to be able to tell the right moment of time, or if they control time to get it right. They think being a Christian is too hard. You know, you can't have fun. That is so much a trick of the devil. And many Christians knows what they should be doing, but feel that they can become more committed, or they could give more, or they could help others more later. You're putting it off if you ain't doing it. And the time is out for saying it's somebody else's job. And God didn't ask you to go save the multitude or go visit the hospital 24 hours a day, or take all you have and give it away. But God has given all of us enough to be able to share. That's what he did in his master plan. And that's why this lesson could say, to whom much is given, much is required. You might wonder why in your family, every time somebody needs something, they're looking at you. Or every time somebody needs something done, they come to you. But if you have lived your life trying to do what God asks you to do, it will cause your light to shine before men. And because they could see your light, they believe that you are probably the best one to ask. So the Bible said, don't get weary in doing good. And God said, because I have given you more, you could do more. You see, Christ will return at an unexpected time. And I come to tell you tonight, it's not a trap or a trick by which God hopes to catch us off guard. You see, in fact, God is delaying his return so more people will have the opportunity to serve him and not end up in hell. That's a good God. You see, Jesus is coming back, and one thing is for certain. We don't know when. But we do know why. Because he's coming back for his church. You cannot serve God as if you could control time, saying to yourself, I still have time to change. I'm not ready to serve others because it's my time. Or I know God gave me this talent, but I'm using it only for my gain. And I know plenty of people are shy. But God said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You see, the unfaithful servant mismanaged the master resources to satisfy his own greed, treated others as if they didn't matter. And Jesus warns us in this parable that type of person will not receive any rewards. Jesus took time to give this word to Luke so it could be placed in the Bible because he's letting us know the time to get it right is now. We are living in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. It's almost like we in rehearsal. Sometime you heard a writer say the whole world is a stage and everybody's playing a part. Yes, God want to know what you have done for him lately. And he also want to know what you did with what he given you and placed in your hand. That's the parable of the talents. He gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. The master came back. Y'all know the story. So it is true. Jesus is concerned what we're doing right now because we are being prepared for the land of the living. And somebody say, you know, Sister Diane, why you say we're living in a land of dying? There will be no dying in eternity. And if you don't think there's dying in this land, look at the obituary notice. So, yes, this is the land of the dying, and we're here to be prepared for the land of the living. And if we look at the last two verses, it reads as follows, and the servant which know his master's will and prepare not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. You get the word of God, 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 you get the word of God. And once you get it, what you do with it? This scripture says, which know his Lord's will and prepare not himself, neither do according to the will, shall be beaten with many stripes. You have no excuse. I don't know. None of us know everything, but all of us know enough to do some things right that we're not doing. And I didn't say y'all, I say we. Because I tell y'all all the time, I believe in Genesis to Revelation, but I haven't achieved it. And there's many things I know I can do better. And that's where the pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, you know, work out my salvation within, trembling, because I have a desire to get it better. I want to be better. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. I want to serve more tomorrow than I serve today. I want to share more tomorrow than I share today. I want to have more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and truth about my master, my Lord, and my Savior. And then the scripture says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. For unto whomever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. It's just the way it is, y'all. You see, and I looked up in the book of James, and it was the 4th chapter and the 17th verse, and it said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is sin. You know, when you could see somebody in need, and it could be a little bit of need, and you just walk past them. You know, the child next door is living till you don't have no shoes, and you could go in your house and go in your closet, and you got 70 pair of shoes. To him that knows what's right to do and do it not is sin. Those who know and don't do will be held at a higher standing. How you going to talk about holding on to the confession of your faith and I'm going to do the will of God, and yet you turn your back all the time on needs? And it don't have to be money. They could be somebody you see the sadness on their face and they just need a word of encouragement. It could be somebody just need a prayer. Sometime a person just need a smile from you. And sometime it could do a person all of the good in the world to just receive a hug. You see, the idea of who to whom much is given, much is required, is that we are held responsible for what we have. If we are blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use these well to glorify God and to benefit others. Being faithful servants in a household of faith, being faithful as a member of the body of Christ, and also trying to be the greatest citizen in the kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus told us how to live until he come back. Number one, we must watch for him. Number two, we must work diligently. Number three, we must obey his commandments, which are found in the Bible, the Word of God. Such attitudes are especially necessary for leaders. The more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge we have, the more we are responsible to use them effectively. You know, plenty of times some people are calling and say, the man on my job is just, you know, he's just ragging me out and, you know, and he's doing this and that. I say, ask a question, is he saved? No, he ain't saved. Well, how do you expect him to act? Do he read the Bible? No, he don't. I'm almost sure he don't read the Bible. Well, how he know what God says? You want to judge the unsaved for what they do. When you got to understand what they're working with. They're not leaning and depending on God. And watch this. God will not hold us responsible for gifts or abilities he has not given us. But all of us has been given enough gifts and duties to keep us busy until Jesus returns. The servant who knows the master will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants get beaten with many blows. And beaten with the blows might be, you know, you need favor right now. And it just don't come through. Come on, y'all. And you got to remember to whom much is given, much is required. And you shouldn't be going around expecting to get what you never was willing to give. The Bible says if you want friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. And the golden rule, which is the simplest rule there ever was, say, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Every time something go wrong in your life, you want everybody to show up. And something is going on in someone else's life and you don't even go, you don't even call. And then sometimes you have the audacity to tell somebody to tell that person you said hello. Oh, tell Miss Mary I said hello. You could tell her yourself. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is to give generously. If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. If your gift is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are just some of the simple responsibilities of a faithful steward. And as I close tonight, Jesus said to his disciples, whomever want to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whomever want to save their life, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find life. Hallelujah. The Son of Man will reward each person according to what they have done. When we are willing to do what God has assigned for us to do, watch this, y'all. God will send others to you to receive whatever the need is. God has given all of us something, but he know you're not going to share it. He know you're not going to do whatever. So why would he send people your way? But when God know he can use you and you ready to do the will of the Father and you waiting for the next opportunity to serve him. You waiting for the next opportunity to pray. You waiting for the next opportunity to do whatever. When God know you ready and you willing and you able, he then send people to you. And more will come because to whomever much is given, much is required. And I'm just going to tell you this, and I'm going to end with this. God is the giver of all good things. He gives us everything we need to fulfill his will. That's talking about the provisions. And I want you to know tonight, freely you have received, and freely you should give. And that's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to add to it, feel free to press the one button on your phone. If anyone will want to give encouragement to the brothers and sisters in Christ, you could press the one button on your phone. If anyone would just like to say hello to their sisters and brothers that's on the line, you can do that at this time. And if anyone would like to pray and lead us out, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. If anyone would like to pray, so at this time, no one pressed, but I know of a sister that's on the line. Her name is Elyria, Minister Elyria Mackey. I see her number, and I know she always accepts the opportunity. So, Sister Elyria, I'm going to ask that you lead us out in prayer on tonight, that you lead us out in prayer on tonight. So, Sister Elyria, your mic is open.
Most gracious God, we just come thanking you, Lord God, for another Wednesday night where we were able to come together and fellowship, Lord, one with another. God, we thank you for Minister Diane, oh God, for bringing a word forth in the mighty name of Jesus. God, and we stand on your promises because they are yea and amen. And we are encouraged tonight, God, just to stand fast in the liberty which you have made us free, oh God. God, you said in your word that you would, that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. So, God, we thank you for our soul prospering on tonight, oh God. God, we thank you that you're opening up the eyes of our understanding, oh God, because you say with all thy getting, get understanding. So we thank you for understanding, Lord God, because we can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, oh God. God, and we don't have to entangle ourselves again with the yoke of bondage, because you said who the Lord has made free is free indeed. So we free to worship and praise you, Lord God. God, you said in your word that you would beseech us, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we would begin to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. God, you told us to be not conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we thank you that our mind can be renewed by your word, oh God. It's your word that cleanses. It's your word that purifies. It's your word that sanctifies us, oh God. And we thank you for your word. God, and we want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer every man that's looking for a hope of calling, oh God. God, and we thank you that we can stand firm on your word because truly you are the potter and we are the clay. And we ask that you would mold us and shape us into vessels that would be meet for your use in everything we do. We will give you the glory, oh God, because we recognize that we are of a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, and we can show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And God, we just thank you because we recognize that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and you have made us lively stones, oh God, that we are living, oh God. And you say if we seek first the kingdom of Christ and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto us. And God, we thank you for adding your love, your joy, your goodness, your gentleness, your meekness, your temperance, your faith, long-suffering, and your peace, peace that passes all understanding. We pray for those that have lost loved ones on tonight, Lord, that you would bind up the broken heart and strengthen, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because we recognize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, and in you we have peace, the peace that passes all understanding. God, we thank you, Lord God, for the whole household of faith tonight, Lord. We pray for the body of Christ, O God. We pray for those that you're saving, O God. We thank you in advance for the deliverance, O God. We thank you for your miracles, O God. We thank you in advance for everything that you have done, O God, on our behalf, O God. We thank you for those that you're calling out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, and we recognize that we are your people. And for that, we are grateful, we are thankful, and we praise the name of Jesus this afternoon, O God, because we love you, and we are the called, and we are the beloved of God. God, and we just call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, O God. We just bless the name of Jesus. God, we thank you because you give us new mercies morning after morning. And we thank you, Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is just worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Because we recognize that you won't put on us no more than that we can bear, O God. And these light afflictions that we go through, you said you'll deliver us by them all. We're grateful, O God. Just grateful just to know that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is our Jehovah Jireh. And he provides every one of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Maggie. And before I do the benediction, I'm asking everyone, one of our sisters on the Wednesday night Bible study, father passed away. Our sister in Christ is Desi Remay. Desi Remy. And Desi Remy's father name was Byron Remy. And he passed away. And she listened to the station from Jacksonville, Florida. And I heard her father died. So I'm asking that everyone pray for the family of Byron Remy. And our sister with the Wednesday night Bible study name is Desi Remy. So lift them up in prayer. And that's our program for tonight. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And it is my desire that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God be with you till we meet again. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on next week. So long. Be blessed. Amen.